Nobody is on top of the world every day. Do you have bad days? Tim, do you have bad days? Yeah. Do you have bad days? We all have them, don't we? Every once in a while that happens. Everybody has ups and downs in their lives. I get that. And sometimes the world is sweet and sometimes it's sour. Sometimes life moves along briskly and we accomplish what we want to do and it's great and we meet all of our personal goals for the day. I mean, do you have that kind of thing? But then sometimes things get stuck. We look failure in the face, sometimes multiple days. We don't know how to get up out of what we don't know how we got into, and life comes to a halt. Today's gospel reading is about three discouraged men, four actually if you count Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who appears in other accounts of this story. But they are fishermen. They're not recreational fishermen. These are real fishermen. These are the ones that know what to do. They have been fishing all of their lives, and they had already met Jesus. Jesus knew who they were. They were associated with John the Baptist, and in fact, he had been to Simon Peter's house and had cured his mother-in-law of a high fever. So they knew each other, but it had been a very bad day for these fishermen. They had fished all night, caught nothing, and now it's morning. The morning after a night of failure, the men are washing their nets so that they'd be ready for the next night's work. Not feeling very good about what was going on. There were people on the beach, a crowd where they were working, a big crowd, and they were listening to Jesus. They were pressing in on him. And Jesus is on the water in a way, out away from the crowd, and suddenly he steps into Simon's boat, put out a little ways from shore, and he does. Now, any of you who've been on boats, particularly at night, you know that sound travels very well over water. It's a great idea, and the shoreline usually has a bit of a slope to it, so it makes sort of a natural amphitheater. This is a great idea. And so Jesus teaches the crowd, and finally when he's done, the crowd goes home. And then Jesus turns to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Now, I got to tell you, it's a bit presumptive of Jesus. I mean, he's a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? He's talking to professional fishermen and telling them how to do their business. It was presumptuous, and Peter answers Jesus immediately by explaining to him, Lord, it won't do any good. I mean, we've worked all night, and we haven't caught anything. There's no point to it. Now, is that where you've been? No point to it, Lord. You do your best, you work hard, but the results come out zero. An important relationship goes sour. There's nothing you can do about it. You watch a marriage dissolve. You can't save it. A project that you've worked on just will not pan out. The harder you try, the less you produce. Have you ever been in a place where all of your wisdom tells you, give up? Don't even try. And I have. I think you have too. And the last thing you want to hear, right? You know what the last thing you want to hear is, try harder. Gentlemen, let me tell you, I learned this at an early age, and I have already told Wilson, told my son, everybody, and all the males in my family, never when a woman is angry at you, tell them the words, calm down, honey. I promise you, that will not work, okay? Yeah, it will not work. And neither will when somebody's feeling the sense of failure, tell them, just try harder. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were not stupid men. They knew the lake. They knew the ledges where the fish would gather together, the kind of weather that you had to have in order to have a good catch. Their families had been working the lake for generations. They knew when it was a good time to fish. They knew where to fish. And they had gone fishing at the right time, at the right place. And they came back with empty nets. Try over there, Jesus says. Over there. Go into the deep water. Let your nets down there, and you will catch something. Master, we've tried all night long. We've done everything we could have done, everything we were taught to do by our fathers and their fathers before them, but here we are. We've caught nothing yet. Because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Maybe Simon agrees to row out into the deep water And we don't know why. Maybe he did it because he was learning to trust Jesus. Maybe he did it to humor Jesus. So maybe it was because of something in Jesus' tone of voice. Whatever the reason, he agreed to do it. Agreed to do what Jesus asked him to do. And then you know the story. You know, they threw the nets out, and Simon's boat engulfed such a great shoal of fish that their nets began to break. They caught so many fish, and James and John came alongside and helped to load up the boats, and the boats began to sink. It was an amazing catch, made in deep water, a catch taken where there should not have been any fish, a catch taken at a time of day when there should not have been anything to catch. Now, I know that preachers have talked about this passage, and they use it in a sense that we are to be soul catchers. That's a good message. There's nothing wrong with that take on this particular scripture. How like Peter and Andrew and James and John, we're all called to leave behind things and all the ordinary concerns, all the worries and frets and cares, and focus on winning people for God. And that is a great message, but that's not my message to you today. Instead of focusing on that message, I want you to remember that Simon Peter said to Jesus at first when he said, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." What Simon was saying to Jesus in effect was, "I know my business. I tried it. We worked all night and nothing happened. So what's the point of even trying?" And undoubtedly, friends, we, like Peter, do know our business. But somehow, maybe we know it too well. You know, our child is not educated enough or old enough to do a particular job or enjoy a particular responsibility, or that our brother is too busy to ask for a favor, or that our neighbor doesn't care to help, or that we ourselves aren't talented enough to do what everyone else is asking us to do. We know those things about ourselves and about others. And what happens? We get frustrated. We feel alone. We feel inadequate. We believe that what is being asked of us, be it as individuals or as part of a group, just won't succeed. And we won't want to try it again. We don't want to risk one more disappointment. We don't want to experience one more failure. And I know people, some of them in our congregation here today, whose lives have become miserable because for years they have refused to risk failure. One more failure would do them in. I know, it's so disappointing. They have resources but do not use them, skills but do not develop them, dreams but do not follow them, gifts but do not share them. They know what is what. And this is where Charlie comes in. This is where Tim comes in. This is where many of our congregation comes in on this particular point, but it can apply anywhere. Faith, you have a beautiful voice, but if you don't share that voice, I pray God takes it away and you never sing again. Because why give a gift to someone who never uses it? You hear what I'm saying? I said that to a choir member one time, and she was about that big. But she grew about that big and was about to punch me when I said, her name was Ruth, delightful, delightful soprano. And I said, "Ruth, you have had such a beautiful voice your whole life. Why don't you ever sing in solos and duets and things like that?" She said, "Oh, George, if you'd only heard me back when I was 30, I had a great voice then." And I said, "Well, then I pray that God takes your voice away now, because you have a great voice now, but you refuse to share it." You see, why? Because she thought it would be a failure. And Charlie, you share your music skills with us. And I mean, I could go through the entire congregation. I know all of you so well now. And each of you has a gift of some sort. Something that you can and you do share with others. Thank God for you. Thank God. Because you're not afraid to fail. You will share that gift. But for those of you who hold back because you are afraid of failure, fine. Let God give that gift to somebody who will use it. That's a chilling thought, I think. Well, I'll tell you, people who know what they are and what others are and what situation they're in, and looking at all of that knowledge, but they're afraid to risk, afraid to reach out, afraid to go beyond that which is familiar, and in the end know how things will pan out. They know that there's no point to doing what is being asked. And there is no point going beyond the place where fish are normally found, because in the normal places there is nothing. Then how much less will there be in the places where the fish are almost never caught? Put out your nets into deep water and let them down. And you know, okay, I get it. That's fine, Jesus. But we tried our best. We worked all night. We tried it. It didn't work. But because you say so, we will do so as you have asked. It works this way. When I was in my first church as a solo pastor, it was over near Winter Haven and Lakeland, a little place called Auburndale. We got there. The church was 145 members. 8 years later, it was over 300. We had grown tremendously, and it was a wonderful experience. But one of the reasons that it grew was because we had a sailboat. No, it doesn't make any sense, does it? We had a sailboat, and my wife and I would take the sailboat. We went down St. John's River, and one evening we came to a little camp area, a little state park called Hontoon Island, and it's an island. You can't get to it unless you have a boat. Well, guess what? We were in a boat. So we pulled up, and we found out they have cabins. And we thought, well, this would be a great place for a family retreat. Why don't we go to the session and ask them if we could have a family retreat at Hontoon Island? It's a little primitive campground, you know, not much there. Well, I went to the session, and of course, you know, they, what do you think their response was? We did that before, it didn't work. But after I cried and held my breath long enough, they said, okay, you can do it, you can try. And their reasoning was that when they tried it before, nobody came. It was a failure. But this was 20 people met us there. We did it over Martin Luther King weekend. It was freezing. We had the worship service was somewhat disjointed. The organization was, because I organized it, was terrible, you know, terrible organization. But everybody had a great time. And that first year, 20 people. The next year, we had 50 people. The year after that, we had 150 people. It was that kind of thinking, going against the grain. We tried it before. We could fail at it terribly. And that church grew because we sat around campfires and burned our tennis shoes, because you put them up against that hot ring, you know, and they melt. It was kind of fun. But that was fishing in deep water, trying something different. You know, there's a lot of truth in the proverb that the family that plays together stays together. So where is that for us? Yeah, I am really, really thinking about doing a family retreat this Martin Luther King weekend. For anybody who wants to come, I'll help you. I'll tell you where it is, for one thing, and we'll go. It'll be great. Put out in deep water. Pull together as a family of God. Because, see, the point is this. Sometimes we need to be inspired by something or someone or something that is outside our frame of reference, something new. Sometimes we need to listen to other points of view. Sometimes we need to risk one more failure to go and do what our common sense tells us really doesn't make any sense, and try that we suspect will not work. Sometimes we need to head out into the deep water and let down nets for no better reason than Jesus asks us to do so. Jim Penhale writes about this gospel reading. Listen to what he wrote. The image that strikes me in today's gospel is not the fishing, but the reluctance of Simon to break out of the ordinary and the everyday ways of thinking and doing. I've always been attracted to Simon Peter because he's so like many of us, well, me at least. Despite verse 10, I don't think it's been suggested that our mission is to put out bait and catch unsuspecting fish who might be curious enough to nibble. I think the reading might suggest that we should be willing to set the familiar aside and not be afraid to try new waters. Jesus did not come simply to make each one of us into some kind of metaphorical fisherman, going out to catch fish with a line of faith so that they would be displayed in some heavenly trophy case. He came so that each of us might have an abundant life. Now, let that roll over you, because see, this is where the sermon pays off. This is not abundant life someday. It's not you're going to enjoy a greater you someday. This is today. This is now. You can experience abundant life of God now. The kingdom of God is not just in the future. It is here now. It is a rich life. It is a full, abundant life which we know and experience. And we share the love of God, a love that conquers the sting of death, that ensures that in the end, all of our labors will not be in vain. No matter how many days our nets may come up empty, they will not be in vain. Now, you were sitting in pews you didn't buy, right? And nobody in this church bought these pews. They've been here, right? Long time. Now, I didn't look up the, you know, so tell me if I'm wrong. All right, so you were enjoying something that someone else provided here. Do you think that they knew that you'd be here? No. When they bought these pews, when they built this church, when they provided this ministry, which has been going on in this place for more than 100 years, when they, all of them, wondered, where is this going to go? What's going to happen to this? Will these pews, they dreamed that the pews would be filled with people, happy people, people of God, people that are living today in the kingdom of God. Not just tomorrow, but today. So if they could do that, fish in deep water and provide this place for you, what are you being called to do? Recognize that God's ways are really superior. We have to do one thing. We have to recognize that our knowledge, our experiences are not equal to God's. We have to recognize that God's ways indeed are different. His wisdom is greater. His timing is better. His counsel more life-giving than anything we can conceive of. And our nets may come up empty. It may happen many days in a row. But if we are open to God, if we are willing to listen and try new things that God suggests to us, if we are willing to venture out into the deep water, to simply, if we are willing, because He asks us to do over and over again some of the things we've tried before, and given up on, our nets will in the end be filled, and filled so abundantly that our nets will begin to break and our boats will begin to sink. I've always thought it would be great, just as a sideline here, that I always wanted to do a sermon on the fish. They had two huge boats of fish and they just left them on the shore. What happened to the fish? I know preachers worry about this kind of stuff. You know, you got to find some story in there. What happened to all those fish? God is able and willing to help us. God is able and God calls you to share that message. The message that through listening to Him, following Him, there comes an abundance of life where before there was nothing. God makes all things new. God makes us who we are supposed to be right here and right now. Venture out into deep water. Labor hard to let down and bring up your nets, and I promise you, you will discover a fuller life, a life in which God is with you and accomplishing His will. Tremendous challenge, but it's also a tremendous promise, and God's promises never fail. So let's pray for that. Loving God, like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we sometimes feel discouraged. We work hard at what we do. We care for our boats. We tend to our nets. We batten down the hatches when the seas get rough. Yet sometimes our labor just seems to be in vain. Help us never to be discouraged, but rather grant that we might hear your voice and accept your direction and venture again in obedience to your word. Guide us to where the water is deep and where the catch you have for us is waiting. And strengthen our hands for the work that it requires. For we make this prayer as we make all of our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.